Hello, people out there. Thank you for downloading or listening to my podcast, I Watched a Movie With... I am your host, Nicholas Espinosa, and today I watched a movie with Julian Rosignol, and that movie is Jaws. I just wanted to say that if you haven't seen Jaws, I highly suggest watching the movie before listening to this podcast, because it is filled with spoilers, and it's not going to be as entertaining if you haven't seen a movie, and we talk about this movie that you haven't seen. That's never a good thing. Have you seen people at parties that do that? It's so annoying. It's like, hey man, spoiler alert. Also, I didn't go to school to study film or any kind of art like that. This is just me loving movies, watching a movie with my friend, and then talking about that movie with a friend. It's for the layman, really, because I am a layman when it comes to films. But you know what? I still love it, and I try to study it by watching as many films as I can, because I love, 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 love movies. I can't stop watching them. I try to watch one every day, but, you know, that's kind of impossible sometimes. If you guys are listening to the podcast and you're just like, man, what is this guy talking about? He has no idea what he's talking about when it comes to this certain movie. Then just contact me and be like, hey, let's watch a movie together, and I'll tell you. I'll show you how to talk about a movie, because you do not know what you're doing. And you might be right about that. So please contact me, like the page on Facebook, and share it with your friends, because we're all cinephiles at heart. And this will be the very first and last intro to my podcast. Thanks for listening. Guys, welcome to the podcast. This is the first episode of I Watched a Movie With... And you guys can pick up from the title of the podcast that I watched the movie Jaws with my best friend Julian Rosignol. But that's not what the podcast is about. Actually, that's exactly what the podcast is about. But there's like a lot of things going on in this podcast, and the structure in this is going to be all over the place, because we're just going to watch a movie together and we're going to talk about it. It could be a movie that we hate. It could be a movie that we love. It could be a movie that we never even seen before. In this case, I haven't seen Jaws. And also in this case, Julian has seen Jaws like 100 times. So you put those two things together and you get a...
When can I come in?
Wait till I introduce you, sir.
I felt like over there. You twice.
I will introduce you when I am good and ready. Okay. So what did I do today? I did some. I went to work. I'm so tired. I've been taking some vitamin B. It's got some vitamin C in it.
B for bad introductions.
I said, let me introduce you, sir, when you get the chance.
He called me sir.
When I get the chance, really. So yeah, we watched the movie Jaws in his room, in Julian's room, and we watched it on VHS, and I thought, like, you know, why not? It's like made in the 70s, so why not? No, it's just the only thing we had. I didn't want to buy the movie. I'm out of money right now. Julian had the movie, so I said, why not? Let's just watch it on VHS. I don't even care anymore. Oh, boy. I got a new water bottle. And why not? Let's introduce our guest.
Hey, everybody. My name is Julian Rosignol. Julian Michael Rosignol.
I have to introduce you.
I did.
No, I introduce you. You don't introduce yourself. Ladies and gentlemen.
Julian Michael Rosignol.
Julian Michael Rosignol.
It's good to be here.
Am
I snuggly a little bit?
All right, let's explain to the listeners our situation right now. How are we positioned?
Well, we're face to face, separate beds. You're on my couch, pull-out couch bed, which is not nearly as comfortable as my giant queen-size mattress bed that I kicked my little sister out of a couple days ago, so I can... do my sleepy thing in here.
Now, now, are we sitting upright?
You are. You kind of look like a seal would be. and I'm just looking kind of like a,
I look
a
like
seal
shark
after
fodder.
It got clubbed. Huh?
I look like shark fodder. Shark fodder. Shark? Shark? shark. Cut,
redo this whole intro.
This is the worst intro of a podcast.
What are you trying to say?
Shark fodder. Like a seal, because sharks eat seals. Or is that just killer whales? Now they eat seals.
I thought fodder meant poo.
Shark fodder.
Like, that's why they say bantha fodder in Star Wars, because bantha is what...
Oh, maybe I'm like a piece, a long
you
piece.
You basically just called yourself shark poo. You look like shark poo.
Yeah, I'm shark poo. And you look like a really comfortable over there in your queen sized.
You got, I don't like, care what I look like right now. You, I feel
okay,
great.
You got like a comforter over you, and I literally have a sleeping bag over me, keeping me warm.
Which you didn't thank me for still.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and I never will. But I'm not complaining.
Sure sounds like it.
Yet. So we just watched Jaws with Clayton and Audrey, and then they left because it is late right now. What time is it? The alarm clock right here.
It's like 3 in the morning.
It's 1. It's 12:57 to be specific in the a.m. And we were recording this podcast. I said, let's just hold off and do it some other day. And you were
I didn't
just
realize
like...
how late it was until you just set the time just now.
Oh,
I have to wake up at 6 o'clock.
It. He has to wake up at 6 o'clock.
To work
o'clock.
With my dad.
I don't have to wake up until another like 12 hours, to be honest. Okay. Is it cool if I just stay here?
I don't care. It's not my house.
It's not his house, ladies and gentlemen. No, 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 none of that. It's too late for that.
Not my house.
Shots fired. Let's talk about this movie. So how many times have you seen this movie?
Probably a little more than 5. This is, yeah, I don't know.
When
ballpark.
How old were you when you watched it?
Younger, probably 10, 7, 8, around that ballpark. Probably I was as old as many times as I've seen this movie. Like, that's...
I'm as old as many times.
That makes sense.
So you've seen it 23 times?
No, I mean, like, when I saw it, I was probably 7 or 8. I probably have seen it 7 or 8 times.
Oh, right.
Like, right now, to date.
Yeah.
That's cool. That was a weird way to put it. It's late. It's like 3 in the morning.
So it's 12:58.
They don't know that.
They said it twice now. So... Is it watching it this time? Is it just as good as those other times?
I really like this movie because I never get, for some reason, I could watch it the whole way through. There's movies, even if they're good movies. For instance, we watched one of the Sharknado movies yesterday, and I flat out just fell asleep to it, and it was funny. I've heard some really funny jokes that came out of it, but like this movie, even if it was slow and on some points and it's older. Didn't have as much action. I'm still glued to it, and I don't fall asleep to it, even though it's 3 in the morning. Like I can watch this whole thing. It's a good movie.
Yeah, and I agree. This being the first time that I watched it, I was wide awake. My eyes were wide awake, and I'm tired right now. I didn't drink any caffeine. Oh wait, did I drink?
Oh wait. No. Wait. No. Yeah. You know, yeah. All no. You were just drinking caffeine.
Yeah, I was just drinking
straight from the baby bottle.
Thanks for that caffeine, by the way.
You're welcome.
This
comes with a sleeping bag.
Sleeping bag, I'm not sure about. But yeah, I was wide awake and I was loving every second of it. And should we just get into the beginning and just start talking about this movie as fast as we can so we can go to bed?
Yeah, I kind of want to... Well, here's the thing. You're trying to interview me because you watched a movie with me. But at the same time, this is the first time you've seen a movie. So, like, I don't know. You want to say something and then I'll follow it?
Sure. Well, what I really liked about it was, and Steven Spielberg does this a lot, is multiple layers of chatter. Not cheddar, chatter. And did you just fall asleep?
No, what do you mean?
Julian's eyes have been closed.
No, you
this
made me
entire...
hungry talking about all this cheddar.
No, like, okay, like, for instance, when he first gets the phone call in the house, he wakes up. I mean... in his house, and then the son comes in, and he's like, oh, I got bit by a vampire, or whatever he said. He said something about a vampire, and he was bleeding.
And he has a really funny voice when he says it. Like, he has a speech impediment or something.
He does have a speech impediment. And then he starts talking on the phone, but in the foreground, unfocused, the mother is, like, cleaning the blood or whatever dirt that's on his hand. And Spielberg didn't make it so that you can't... They're not talking. He made them so they're talking. They're having a normal conversation in the background, while the main character is on the phone, probably getting something very vital because he's the sheriff. You don't know he's the sheriff yet, But yeah, he's getting some information that you're trying to listen to him, but like the same thing, something's going on in the background, and it's like just as loud as what he's saying. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like he didn't...
I never noticed that he did that before, but that makes sense because I'm picturing other movies like Jurassic Park. I'm picturing kids in the background, not shutting up in the back seat.
Yeah.
And then you also hear like Alan Grant say stuff that's also as pivotal. So that's kind of neat. I never caught that before.
Yeah. And he also does that in he didn't direct Goonies, but that happens a lot in Goonies. There's just people having multiple conversations.
He didn't direct Goonies?
No, he just produced it. I know that. I thought he directed it. I know, right? It seems like a Spielberg movie, but he just produced it. Also in the movie E.T., he has this thing with like kids, like they're always talking, and which makes it so much more realistic, is just like kids messing around, talking, and they're having multiple conversations.
Yeah. Once.
They're always like bagging on each other. And I think also J.J. Abrams does it too. He makes Super 8 very Spielberg feely.
He was going for an E.T. film. That's the whole point of it. So I think he wanted that realistic, because I remember in E.T., there's a point when at the table, it wasn't like necessary. I don't know. I guess it is necessary dialogue because it's in the movie, but they're at the dinner table. It's the whole family and stuff, and Elliot like calls his brother a name, and they're just like fighting, like bickering, like real kids are.
Yeah.
And I know like movies do that, but I don't think it was as real.
Yeah.
It was pretty realistic.
It feels real. It makes you feel like you're there. It's a very warm feeling, and it's something that doesn't need to be there for him. Well, I don't know. It's
not like a written out, like, here's this setup, punchline.
Yeah.
It was just a normal, like, hey, be quiet. I'm going to call your name. Just like a normal conversation would go.
Yeah.
And then the mom gets mad and then like tells him to be quiet. And it was like, it wasn't, that's what I mean by it wasn't necessary. I mean, it wasn't like written out as like, oh, this is gonna be the punchline at the end of the scene.
Yeah,
it was just like, this is it, this is what they're talking about.
Yeah. And what's cool about that is like you said, it's not necessary, but it is necessary in order to get that warmth and tone that like Spielberg has in his movies, and I really appreciate that. And that's what I really love about his movies. So I wrote that down. And another thing that I wrote down,
did you write this down before or
I was writing
it
during the movie. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So like is this one of the, I think this might be the first movie that I've seen, or like as far back as like the 70s, where there is a meeting in the town hall or wherever they're having it, and the mayor and the sheriff are there, and he's making an announcement. They're going to close down the beaches for the first time. Everyone starts freaking out because this this town is like economy is based off the summer and the beaches and blah, 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 blah. Like it's as if the beaches were the only selling point of this town.
Which it is. It was a small town.
It's true.
That's all we got.
That's
going
all
for
I had going for him. They had a huge sign dedicated to it, and then the guy, LaQuint, I think his name was, scratches his nails on the chalkboard, which is really surprising because putting that in a movie is just wrenching. Like no one wants to hear that, and he did it. I was really like,
not
like,
for like a split second either.
Yeah, it was a while.
Everybody watched him
yeah.
and had the same reaction we had watching.
Yeah, we
like,
just
stop,
every
please.
Yeah, no one can watch that at ease, and. Cuts to the guy and sitting in the way back, sitting down, and he has this like BA tone. Yeah, he has his beard and this tone, and he's got, I don't even remember what he said to be honest, because
he
was...
basically like, because they're selling, they're like, hey, $3,000 to get the shark out, like to kill
oh,
the
he
shark.
Said that?
No, that's what the town meeting was for.
Oh,
and
okay.
then he oh, comes great. In, scratches his nails. He's like, look, you guys are gonna die out there. Sharks are crazy.
Yeah.
I have a backstory that I'll tell you later at the end of the movie. But I'm going to catch this shark, not for $3,000, because I don't want to risk my life for $3,000. Maybe to go out there and fight with it, but to bring it back alive, $10,000. Take it or leave it. If you want
grand.
These beaches. And then they're like, oh, that's kind of steep, isn't it? He's like, if those beaches are the life and money of this town, then you can spend a little money paying me $10,000. Because I'm worth it. And then he like straight up walks out of there.
Yeah, and a guy follows him. Who is that guy? That is like mate, his sailor mate.
I don't know. He's not important. I don't
exactly,
know
because we don't see him and he's not on the boat with him in the very end of the movie.
Probably his makeup artist. Like they just forgot to stop
he's
recording.
Just walking with them. He's the guy holding the microphone secretly so they can get the audio. No, they're professional. But what I was focused on that scene was that we've seen that scene before in movies where this person stops the crowd and does his like monotone speech, and he's mysterious, and he's obviously important, and he's obviously going to be brought back in the movie, or he just like jumps in the movie that way.
Yeah,
but that's the first time it's not the first time I've seen
it. It's one of the oldest ones.
Yeah, that I can, exactly.
That's what I like about older movies. They
create the cliche.
They create it. Like, it's cool anything that's new origin. That's happened, it's like, oh, this is a big thing that a lot of films in the future take. And I think that's why I like this movie a lot, because this one... Well, okay. I really respect this movie a lot because they do things in here on accident, and then it turned out to be what made the movie so great. Like, for instance, when Spielberg was making this movie, he... what did he do? He was trying to make the mechanical shark work the whole time, but it kept malfunctioning. I think like the first time they drop it in the water, they didn't think about if it should float or not, and it literally sank to the bottom.
Oh yeah, I read that somewhere.
And then like they had to like reel it up and get it, and that took like days to do or whatever. But it got to the point where Spielberg's like, oh, just forget it. Like, just film the shark's point of view. Maybe we could get away with that. and then I guess they like did that, but that's what gave the movie such an eerie tone, is that you don't see the shark fully until like you see it a little bit from here and there, like, but underwater and stuff, but like you see it pop out of the water when Brody is like out of nowhere, like he's throwing chum in the water at the very end. He's like, man, like, you guys, blah 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 blah, and then the shark pops up out of focus behind him.
Yeah,
he like gets up and the freaks out, because you see the shark for like one of the first times, and it's like it's there finally. And I think that, like, I don't know if that was, I don't know, that little filming thing.
No, you're right. He's really good at withholding the imagery so it builds up in your imagination, and then it kind of meets your expectations. Another thing he does that other than the shark is when Richard Dreyfuss's character comes in and he's like the shark expert, and he's like, let me see the victim. And so they go in, and the doctor pulls out like a tray that's not the size of a body. So it's like, what's like, what do you mean? How's that the victim? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He pulls the tray out, like, and then he puts it on the table, and then he lifts the cover, and then Richard Dreyfuss is just like hyperventilating, and you don't see it. Movies today, they would show you what he just saw. Like, they would
zoomed
show like
up,
yeah,
so close,
like a 2 second shot of what he just looked at. But this movie, it holds it back. And what's even better is that he describes what he's seeing, and it just builds this like image in your head. This, you like, you use your imagination, like, oh, like, what is this? And at the very end, he's like, okay, they're not going to show it. And at the very end, he pulls the hand up, and like you see the hand from when it was in the on the shore, sticking out of the sand, and then you also see just like,
it's not attached to anything.
Yeah, and it was just like super creepy. I'm like, oh man, that is how you tell a story. how you build suspense.
He did that several times too. It's like, we just listed two examples, and a third example would be when they're all laughing, having a good time at the very end, and they're talking about their scars, like, I got you beat, and they're all just drinking and having fun. And then what's his face? Who's the main fisherman? The guy with the beard and
LaQuint.
LaQuint.
Yeah.
He like stops him. He's like, hey, this is kind of serious. It's the old Indianapolis from the war. Blah blah blah.
USSR.
Blah. Yeah. And he goes on this like tale. I think movies now, or maybe even movies before, would have a flashback or something along those lines to like show you, because they think that the audience is too stupid and they don't think that they would pay attention to something like this, and like, oh, this is boring, you're just talking, I want to see sharks eat 300 people in the water. But I love stuff like this, to where, just like the tray, just like seeing the shark's point of view and only seeing him to the end, I love this, that he's describing it to you and you're imagining it. Anything that makes the audience use their imagination, it shows them respect, because you're saying, you're not stupid, I know you can take this, and it makes it so much more eerie if you do respect it and are paying attention. And I really like that story that he tells, because it's just him and the other two people just listening to him. And I don't know, it was really cool.
And it's eerie. Like, it would sound like lazy, like, oh, they're just like, this is just lazy writing, like they don't want to show us. But this is like a perfect situation where you... like, telling is way stronger than showing. Yes. You know what I mean? Especially
in a time and a place.
And it goes great with the actors too. I think that guy that played LeQuint, this crazy USSR old army navy guy. I don't know military. Can I go on to something else? You have anything to add?
I guess, well, not like to kind of change the subject. Another thing that I like about this movie a lot was, again, not saying, not showing, not spoon feeding the audience, because that's what I hate. I hate spoon feeding the audience. Brody, it's never like actually said. I'm guessing it's because he had a drinking problem. And throughout the movie, you see him drinking heavily. There's a perfect prime example of when he's at the kitchen table.
After the little boy, or the widow, or not the widow, but the lady comes to him about the little boy and slaps him in the face. He starts drinking the wine.
Yeah, he grabs the wine, pours like a giant glass of wine for himself, and then his wife's like, "I'll have some." And then he like pours like three drops in her glass and like gives the other guy some. But so he has a drinking problem. And that's probably what kicked him off the force in the first place. Forward in the movie, at the end, when everybody's showing their scars, mm-hmm. It was super subtle.
I saw that.
But he lifted up his shirt to kind of like look at his scar, and then like,
yeah, I saw that.
Didn't say anything about it. That's probably what got him kicked off of the force, is that scar, and he was too ashamed to say it. And all of that, like, you wouldn't think, like, oh, what does that have to do with the story? But it has everything to do with the story, and it adds so much tension to it, too, if you knew that. Because he didn't want to call, Cry Wolf? He didn't want to cry wolf. He already messed up and isn't, like, a highly viewed police officer now that he did his thing somewhere else. He hears that there's a shark probably on the water, and he wants to do the best that he can. He wants to be a good cop now. But someone tells him, like, no, we're going to do this instead. And we're going to just say it's a boat accident. And he's like, but guys, like, this is, like, what we should do. He's still afraid to say anything, and so he doesn't. And that's what holds him back from, like, all these different things. And it was basically, like, his fault again that this kid died. And I don't know, just I feel like that would hit him emotionally really, really hard again.
Mm-hmm.
But it was, like, I don't know. I like read up and read that, saw this movie again, and it all clicks and makes sense. And I think that stuff like that is really cool, where you have to read up on it, or it's something that's not spoon fed to you.
A theory that you can build up off of. I was telling Allison, because she always likes to discuss theories with me, and I was like, I tell her, I'm like, I don't really like theories. And she's like, what are you talking about? You watch movies and you have all these theories about them. Like, you know what? You're absolutely right. Because I love movie theories so much. Don't get me started on Interstellar. Oof. Can't wait to watch that again. I bought that, by the way. We should watch it.
That's out? Late.
Yeah. Should watch it.
So our next podcast will be Interstellar.
I'm going to go into another thing. It's kind of weird, but I wrote Spielberg isn't afraid to pan in table scenes. And to be more specific, when they're sitting, like you said, when he's drinking the wine, they're all drinking the wine. He pans over to what's her face, the wife. And then she says, are you in a shark or something like that?
Yeah.
And then I have a feeling that that was a
a goof.
And then he pans over to Richard Dreyfuss across the table in one shot, and then he pans back to the girl. And I've always wondered, like, why? Because he does that a lot.
That's supposed to be a no-no.
Well, I don't know about film, right? I don't know about no-no, but he did that in, well, they do it in The Goonies, and then he did it in E.T. And I wish I could say another movie.
But he didn't direct Goonies.
No, but it happens a lot in Goonies. And I wonder why he does that, because he doesn't just use a wide lens and just get, like, everyone in one shot if he's going to get everyone talking at the same time.
Or at least, like, cut.
Yeah, or, you know, and then it does eventually cut to different angles of them talking, having a conversation at the table. I always wondered why he pans, but then, because it's not necessary. I don't even know if it's another point of view, like when someone's talking, like you're looking to the left and then you're looking to your right, like you're supposed to be in that scene with the characters. But I will just say that it's brave. I'm not even sure if I like it or not, but I just think it's like a brave thing for him to do, to have the camera, because it's not a steady cam. It's on a tripod, and you can feel you can kind of feel the mechanical, like, pan, stop, pan, stop. Like, you can almost see the shake of the stop, like the aftershake, I'm pretty sure.
I think it's kind of like one of those Picasso paintings. Like, I understand the art of it, and if that's the kind of art that they like, then I can respect that, but it's not my thing. I don't think I'm a fan of it. Like, I wouldn't do it if I made a film, because I don't know. I always thought, like, you pan one way, you see him, and then you pan over, you see the wife, and you pan over again. It's kind of like, I don't know, maybe, who am I? I'm no Spielberg. What do I know?
What do we know?
We're probably just... the best move you can possibly do cinematography.
We're just a bunch of idiots talking about movies that are way over our head. but maybe there's something in there.
So Jaws was the shark, right?
No, Jaws was... Wait a minute. He was the shark. Oh, boy. Sense. This changes everything.
Huh? See you later, buddy.
See ya. So, I don't know, a couple more things. I wrote, this movie is great at creating despicable characters. And I actually kind of just meant that about the mayor. And, oh, yeah. But, like, you see, like, it's kind of cool with his character. I wrote that before the last time you see him, but obviously he's in it for the economy, for the town to get their money and whatnot. He's looking out for the people, but he's not looking out for the people because he doesn't really care.
He's looking out for the town more than people.
He's looking out for the town. He's looking out for his wallet, maybe.
He did have a nice suit full of anchors on it.
Yeah, I noticed that too. That was super cheesy. I don't know why they did that, to make him look like more like a used car salesman. But yeah, and then at the very end, last time you see him, he's signing that whatever it is.
Just because he's so terrified of what just happened.
He knows it was his fault, but at the same time, he turns to whoever the main character's
Brody.
Name is. Huh?
Brody.
He turns to Brody and he said, "My kids were on that beach too." And then you can see, and I thought that was like a perfect encapsulation of this guy's feelings and what he's going through, because his face in that scene was just like, he was about to break down, like just as much as Brody was breaking down because of, I don't know if it was his kid that was in shock.
Yeah, it was Brody's kids that was in shock.
But you can just like feel like you kind of feel like sorry for this despicable character, and you start to feel like, oh, this guy was on. He was just trying to do it for the people, but now he's losing his people. He's killing his people. He's doing like, he's not helping his people at all.
I felt like, because he does this, like, I don't know. He does like a kind of a smile, like not a smile, but like a sigh of relief after he says, "My kids were on that beach." I felt like that was a cover up to say, like, I can't be blamed for this because my kids were on the beach. So that means that I can't be pointed at as knowing this and letting it happen. Like, he's still that evil, but at the same time, he is kind of traumatized and doesn't know what to do. And Brody, like, kind of takes advantage of that and is like, "Hey, sign this thing so this guy can kill this shark because you don't want to do this mistake again." And he's like, yeah, that's the best thing I should do right now.
Yeah.
So he just wants to fix the problem without, like, no matter the cost at this point.
But yeah, he's going through something. He's like going through a dilemma in his head while he's talking to him to sign up. But you think, like, the first thing he would do is to be on Brody's side, but he's not. Like, what is he thinking about? He's in a sheer panic of something. And I'm assuming it's because, like, he's starting to realize that all of this was his fault and that he even put his kids in danger. What was your favorite part?
Favorite part. Oh man, what did I? There's a scene. Oh yeah.
Comedically,
my favorite part was when Brody is on the top off the fix top of the mic boat. Real quick.
There you go.
My favorite part was comedically when Brody was at the top of the boat and they're like, all right, after they like hook the shark with two barrels or something like that, he says, okay, we're gonna go home now, right? I'm like, no, we're not going home. We gotta wait the night, wait for the shark to rise up so we can chase it. And then Brody is at the top and he's like, but we could go back and we could ask for help and blah blah blah. And then like, I love that Steven Spielberg like kept rolling but like faded it out. Cause, and when we watched it, you said that was kind of a weird thing, but like, I love that he did that because
no, I didn't think it was.
Or
weird.
You thought it was? You thought it was odd?
I said it was interesting.
Oh,
because I agree with you. I thought that was really funny. Like the more I thought about it, I was like, yeah, that was.
They just like cut him off.
They cut him off because this character is like from the get-go is like he's sick. He's sick and he doesn't want to be on the boat. He wants to catch this shark, but he'd rather do it near the shore so he knows he's safe, and he wants other people's help, which is like kind of. It's really stupid that he didn't get any more help from that stupid LaQuint guy.
He didn't want to share his 10 grand.
Oh, is that really what? Yeah, that's probably what. Man, no, this movie is really about greed. All these people are super greedy.
It kills you.
Yeah. Greed kills you, honestly. Or, like, you die of guilt in your heart.
Or shark.
Yeah, that was a really funny part, though.
So, yeah, I like that part a lot. Because it was really funny. And I think just when you see that last battle with the shark, I love the fact that you think, oh, shark battle, how long could that possibly last for? But they somehow made it happen, and interesting too, where they're like tagging it with buckets, and then finally it starts destroying the ship and they're sinking. And so now you're on this time clock where it's super tense and Brody's trying to get up on the boat on top of the very top while it's sinking. The shark has a tank in its mouth and it's chasing him. This is the last like shots in his gun, and he finally blows it up and shark guts go everywhere. It was just really cool how they made like a tough monster to have a battle. It wasn't just like and I love Jurassic Park, but it wasn't like Jurassic Park to where it's like, oh, they're somewhere on land, they're here, let's destroy it. They never destroy it. I don't know why I brought up Jurassic Park. I'm sure there's other movies where they have to destroy it on land. And I don't know. They just somehow did it in the water. And I thought that was really,
I liked cool. That they didn't show how many bullets he had left. Then you know that one of the last bullet is going to be the one to make that, whatever it was, yeah, explode. It's kind of a given. Otherwise, you know, he's going to die. And what's the point of watching this movie? So you're to assume that this gun is full of bullets, or if not, he has like another clip on him, and you don't even know if this is going to be the last encounter, or if this is really, well, I guess you kind of do, because he's just like, come on, explode, and the camera's like zooming up on the canister in his mouth. Yeah, I guess they still had those like little gimmicky stuff, but still intense and interesting.
Yeah, and it's the fact that they don't spoon feed you again. I don't want to see a thing like, oh, guys, one bullet left, okay.
Let me kiss the bullet, put it back in the chamber.
Yeah, it's not.
Yeah.
It's just like, hey, he's got bullets in there.
Mm-hmm.
He's missing. The shark is still charging at him.
He's still got that thing hanging in his mouth. He didn't swallow it for some reason.
What's going to happen? Kaboom. That's what's going to happen.
Kabizzle. My favorite part was, surprisingly, the death scenes. Like, all the death scenes.
Because they catch you off guard.
Oh, boy, did it. Especially the kid. That is so grim.
That was so much,
that
right?
That was like, that was so bloody and so grim. And, I mean, the only weak one, I guess, because they didn't really show much or you didn't really hear anything, was when the guy, I mean, I guess they did show it, when the guy was in the little boat. He was like asking the kids if they needed help in the pond. And,
oh, yeah.
He gets his leg bit off.
Yeah.
And then you don't see too much after that. Which is fine. But my favorite, though, out of all four, I think, was LaQuint dying, because that was probably the most graphic and also the last death. And I think it needed to be, like, super strong, because this is the last, like, well, last death, not counting Jaws, spoiler alert. but I don't know. It was just, like, really gruesome, but it was, like, really satisfying in a way. Because this guy is really kind of a dummy towards the end. he's not helping anyone.
He just wants that 10 grand.
He wants that 10 grand. But, like, you know,
that
actually explains, because I was wondering why is he destroying this, he destroys the radio, but for why? I mean,
But for why? That's the real question.
Oh, I thought you had a cat. It felt like something jumped on the bed. But for why? And then you're kind of explaining it that I guess he wants all this 10 grand. He doesn't want help. I thought it was a prideful thing.
It could be both.
Okay, it's both. Let's just maybe say
he
both.
Wants revenge on a shark.
He killed all his friends.
They killed all his friends too. Like it's deeper than just the 10 grand.
And that makes a little more sense because you walk into his home or his office or whatever, and it's just filled with shark jaws.
Maybe he just started doing that after the war.
Yeah, he just started killing every single shark he could. He's taking out all the sharks he can. And I thought, I remember when we were seeing that part when they start to pull away from the harbor, the port. Spielberg has a shot where it's inside of one of those jaws that's hung up in the guy's window.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like the bones of a jaw of a shark?
Yeah, the jawbone, if you will.
Oh, gosh, I had the jawbone. Thank you so much. I was having such a hard time coming up with it. And then you see the ship inside of it pulling away from the harbor. And I thought that was really symbolic. I remember Audrey made a joke. Like, is this the point of view of a shark? And I was like, you know what? It kind of is. Like, this is kind of symbolic. Like, that shark is going to tear apart that that boat. It's going to be done. It's going to be sea fodder.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Sure, why not? Next question. What did you not like?
Those table pans.
There you go. Those table pans are the worst.
There's a lot of stuff I did like.
Yeah,
like,
I can't.
For the time that it was and what Jaws is, I liked it all. I thought it was that was a decent piece. There's nothing that.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
If anything, I watch it and I'm like, oh, I never caught that before. I like this too.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's like a scene where. I hated.
Mm-mm. Yeah, and this movie is really growing on me. Not to say it wasn't like great after I watched it, but I mean, we only watched it like an hour ago. But it's like the more I think about it, the more I start to really love it. Is there anything you would change?
Dang pan scenes at the table.
Just use a wide shot, you know, or just cut to some different angles. I don't have a huge problem with it, but I just do. I want to know why he does it. There's got to be a reason. I'm pretty sure he still does it too.
The radio? What?
No, so, the pan shots. Yeah, I don't fully understand it.
But yeah, it's just his thing. Just no one ever told him like this is Spielberg. Don't tell him those are weird shots.
This being a Spielberg movie, you know how he has his signature
the light
illumination of the eyes. Does he do that in this movie?
I felt like he did it over the dead guy's face when his head rolled from underneath the.
Oh, did he?
No,
from
I don't know.
Underneath
maybe.
The ship. He might have.
Because there was a lot of like dark and light there.
Yeah.
Or it could have been in the cabin when they're like telling their scar stories. But it was.
No, I don't know.
He does it. He has to do it.
He does it somewhere, maybe. I'm gonna think he did it at one point with the shark's eyes. I hope he did.
I don't know. I guess the one thing that I would change would be only because it's like, hey, it was 2015, not 1970, whatever, would be to make the shark more realistic when it's like eating people. Because you can definitely tell that its teeth are like styrofoam and just like flapping around everywhere.
It's kind of a bummer. But also, I mean, it's really hard to like nitpick on those kind of things just because
I know and that's why I feel bad doing it. It's just
gotcha.
Now like back then that's awesome, and I can only imagine now me Julian Rosenthal going out there and being like, I want to film a shark movie. You know how hard it would be to get like a crew, crane, all this stupid stuff to get like something in actual water to a physical thing, not a CGI thing, to like be in there.
Mm-hmm.
They already had their problems before with it sinking to the bottom and all that junk. Like that's a hard thing to do. So to make it like waterproof and to make it to float and to be mechanical and try to bite somebody. Like, that's so many variables to take into consideration. So it's not something I can really like nitpick. But if you're saying like change something now, it doesn't look like a real shark. That's all I'm gonna say.
It doesn't.
And it definitely looks like a rubber shark.
Well, I think sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. Obviously, there's scenes where there's a real shark, you know,
yeah,
that they're filming.
I want to say this. There is a scene in there because you see the scene where they're in the cage and all that.
That was a real shark.
That was a real shark. But they were thinking like, man, we needed like a 25-foot shark. How are we going to do this? What they did was they got a little mannequin downscaled. Real shark.
They scaled everything.
Small cage to make it look like this
awesome.
Is a big shark.
Yeah. I think it was flailing around.
Yeah, it was pretty
it was scary.
Pretty wild.
I will say that I am terrified of sharks. It's the biggest fear I have in this world. I don't hate sharks. I love sharks. I love them to death. I'm mystified of them, but I'm just like just so
spiders
terrified.
And sharks would do it for me.
Spiders?
Yeah, I don't like spiders.
Since this is a Spielberg movie, I'm going to ask this question. Where would you put this in your Spielberg list of like a top 5 or a top 10? Do you think you could come up with a Spielberg top 5 right now?
I would love to see a list just because I know that I'd be like, oh yeah,
yeah,
Spielberg did that.
Well, I mean, he did the first two Jurassic Parks. He did there's so many. He did, didn't he do Catch Me If You Can?
You have IMDb? IMDb?
IMDb. Yeah, I guess.
Did he do what? Catch Me If You Can?
That's one of my favorite movies.
Is it?
Yeah. I don't know why. Oh, no, I do know why. It's because it's one of my favorites, but I mean.
And you love Tom Hanks.
I do love Tom Hanks. He's one of my he probably is my favorite actor, actually.
I know. You told me.
I did?
And Leonardo?
I told you that?
About it. You told me that before.
I never tell you.
You told me that you thought Tom Hanks was one of the best actors.
Well, why would I tell you that? He is. He is the best. He's the best actor. Is it cool if I just read him to you so I can look at him too?
Yeah.
So we got Lincoln, War Horse, Adventures of Tintin, Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skull, Munich, War of the Worlds, The Terminal, Catch Me If You Can, Minority Report, AI Artificial.
Okay, Minority Report is top 5.
Okay. Saving Private Ryan, Armistead, Jurassic Park 2, Schindler's List, Jurassic Park, Hook.
Jurassic Park and Hook are in the top 5.
Always, Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, Empire of the Sun, The Color Purple, Indiana Jones, Temple of Doom. I mean, I'm kind of skipping stuff that I've never even heard of. Amazing Stories, Strokes of Genius. Oh, that's a TV series. Never mind. Twilight Zone, the movie. He did a little segment in there. E.T., Raiders of the Lost Ark, 1941. Close Encounters of the Third Kind, Jaws. And, and then it goes down to, like, Duel and then all the TV series that he did.
Duel's really good.
Duel's is pretty good.
I guess Jaws is in there, too.
Is that literally all he's done? I feel like he's done more. Okay.
I feel like he's done more, too.
I started to watch Lincoln, and I got really bored, but a lot of people that I respect say Lincoln's really good, so I'm going to give that another shot because I didn't finish it. I also don't want to watch War Horse because it's two things that I am really not interested in, war and horses.
Let alone like, them going to war.
Oh, boy.
A lot of...
It's kind of funny how that kind of worked. But it's also like one of my favorite directors. And Adventures of Tintin? I mean...
I heard that bombed.
I think it's got a sequel coming out, so I don't think it did. But I think it's not one of my favorites. I don't even know if it's one of the greats, to be honest. I'm not that thrilled about that movie. Okay, let me go through. I haven't seen all these, but I'm going to go through.
Here's the thing. You can't rate a movie... thinking that it did good just because it got a sequel. Some of the worst movies in history have gotten sequels, and some of the best movies in history never got a sequel.
I think Fast and Furious.
Best movie. Deserved all 18 exactly. sequels.
Jaws actually got 3 sequels.
That's it? I thought it got 4. No?
Well, I mean, there's Jaws 3 after, 4. Yeah, okay, there's yeah. like, yeah. So there's that.
They're all pretty intense.
Michael Caine's in the 4th one. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
It's crazy.
I don't think I've seen the fourth one.
They asked him, because it's a terrible movie, and they asked him, like, oh, what do you think about that movie? And he's like, I've never seen it, but I've seen the house that it bought me. That's pretty funny. I've never seen Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Oh, man.
It's on my list.
That's one of the things I can't sit through.
Really?
Yeah. No good? Like, I fall asleep every time.
You think you might want to revisit it, though?
Yeah, I would. Someone okay. had a gun to my head and told me I had to.
Oh, I didn't know. I mean, I think that interests me more than Jaws, even though, I mean, I like alien movies. I like E.T. a lot, too. I can't. This is hard to rate these. I mean, I might just say Catch Me If You Can is maybe my favorite one he did. Which is, like, insane to me, like, to even think that, but I don't know. I think it is. Jurassic Park might be second. I really like Minority Report. That might be third. And I really like War of the Worlds. These are movies that, like, I would never... Oh, this is actually really hard. I don't know. Because then there's Indiana Jones. I don't want to neglect that.
Oh, Crystal Skull is probably your fifth one?
Of course.
Or first.
You know what? It is. You know what? Either way, out of all these movies, I think Jaws would be number five. It has to be in my top five because I really enjoyed this movie. I think it's really good. And I think I need to watch it a couple more times to fully understand some stuff. Even though it's really simple, I still feel that I need to understand it more.
There was still
I just need to get the full effect.
Depth in it as there was ocean.
If I like a movie, I need to watch it as much as I can just so I can get the full effect from it. I mean, and there's Schindler's List. I mean, I watched that on TV, and that was a powerful movie. Let's hear your top five.
I had four. It was Hook? Well, I don't know the order.
It was Hook.
Hook.
Was Jurassic Park in there?
Jurassic Park was definitely in there. There's Minority Report. That's probably second place.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, Jurassic Park. And then
is Jaws in there? E.T.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm going to have to boot one of them.
Oh.
Man, if E.T. looked cooler, maybe I'd pick it.
It's a really ugly alien. It's an ugly alien. E.T.'s like the ugliest alien.
And it's not even his face. It's the fact that he just looks like his neck is way too skinny to hold that head. Yep. And his body is just a blob with floppy feet and long orangutan arms.
I'm going to go on record and say E.T. is uglier than Alien from Alien.
Alien from Alien?
From Alien from Alien and Aliens and Aliens Cube and whatever.
Cube?
Yeah, it's like Alien. It's like the little three.
Gosh.
Alien cubed. It's a cube sign. Why would they do that?
You think those aliens are ugly?
Yeah, they're not supposed to be. I mean, they're cool looking, but they're ugly. They're supposed to be ugly.
I don't think they just look fierce.
Yeah.
But if anything, I don't think necessarily fierce. Ugly. Like, I'm thinking when I think of ugly, I mean, you look like a dope. You look like you should be. Like,
I guess you wouldn't really.
E.T. looks dopey.
Well, I mean, it's like.
Stupid.
When it opens its mouth and its teeth are out.
That's so cool because it has another mouth.
It is cool. It's like, oh, that's so cool. But you wouldn't be like.
It's not stupid.
No, but ugly doesn't have to mean stupid.
I'm just saying, when I see someone who's ugly, I don't think they're cool.
Wait a minute.
Wait, that came out wrong. I just don't think E.T. would do the
I'm
best
sorry,
in
we ran
school.
Out of time. We ran out.
I feel like he'd get bullied. And I feel like Alien.
He did get bullied.
In the Alien movies. Yeah, and he wasn't even on his home planet. He could have even, like, he went somewhere else and got bullied.
Yep. And Alien from Alien did not get bullied.
No, he was the bully.
Yep. Let's go on to Netflix picks.
I don't know what's on Netflix. They change every like week.
That's a bummer. So let's just think of a movie to recommend to someone then. That you know, like, it's like, this is like one of my favorite movies and you should watch it. And I would ask you to name something a little bit more obscure or something that you don't think a lot of people have watched. Because Hook, I think, is your favorite movie, correct?
It's one of them, yeah.
Yeah. So I wouldn't recommend that because I feel like everyone has seen Hook.
Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
Mm-hmm.
And Bowfinger. I really like both of those because they're both Frank Oz movies and they both have the same feel to them and almost same humor.
They're both Steve Martin movies, too.
Yeah, both Steve Martin movies. And that's like, I love Steve Martin because of those movies. But I really like them. They have a nice feel to them. And I don't know, they're good. They're predictable. But they're a nice, happy tone movie.
Predictable, you think? Comedies?
Well, like, if you haven't seen Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, I won't give any spoiler alerts.
No, I think that's not predictable at all.
Really? You didn't see it coming?
No, I
okay,
I
maybe
didn't.
I'm just saying this just because one person I watched it with, I was like, you gotta see this movie, it's a good movie. And they watched it and like, oh, I saw that coming a mile away. I was like,
you saw it coming a mile away?
I didn't when I saw it, but I saw it when I was like 12.
And you didn't?
I was a pretty stupid 12-year-old, yeah.
So why did you think that people did?
Because I saw it with somebody later on. I was like,
oh,
you got it. I recommended it, and they said it, yeah.
Oh, okay. Because you showed that to me, and I really liked it, and I didn't see it coming. Oh, another movie you showed me that I'm going to recommend is...
Throw Mama from the Train?
Yeah,
that's a really good movie.
I want to watch that again.
Yeah.
Oh, I was laughing so hard.
Ah, man, yeah, that's a good movie.
I never heard of that movie, too, before you showed it to me. Because you were like, we got to watch this movie, and I was just like, I've never heard of that. This sounds like a sleeper, but it was great. I had a lot
of fun. Danny DeVito's character in that movie is so funny.
Throw Mama from the Train, Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, and Bowfinger. I also recommend Bowfinger. That is one of my favorite movies. Clayton showed that to me, and it's probably my favorite comedy. No, Drowning Mona is my favorite comedy. That's another movie I'm going to recommend.
Man, that's another good movie.
A lot of great comedies. Comedy. So is there anything you want to plug, Julian?
My cell phone. Batteries probably die.
But look up Julian Rosignol on Facebook and add him and be like, hey, I heard your podcast. You sound kind of cute.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So the way we end this podcast is we do a summary and then we rate the movie out of 10 stars. I might change it from stars to something else.
We should change it to 100 stars to be more precise.
That's like more of a percentage when you make it that much.
Make it 1,000 stars.
1,000 stars? All right.
There's so many stars out there, we could just take what we want.
Let's do 1,000, but minus 990. So name it out of 1,000 stars minus 990.
I know, I could do the math. I'm just waiting for you to rate the stars.
10.
Out of 10.
Okay. So I'll go first, and then we'll end with you. What I also like to do is do a little summary and then of why I'm going to choose my rating. So... first time watching this movie, I was amazed. There's a lot of cliches in this movie. I'm not going to say a lot. There's some cliches in this movie that I appreciate because I can see that this is where the origin of the cliches came from. Cliche, maybe, just one or two. And I really appreciate that. I really appreciate the way this story is told. I feel like the pacing in this movie is really well done. This is just a good story and a good movie. And I feel like this is Spielberg... working really hard. I mean, he worked really hard to make this movie seem effortless to me. I don't know why I get that feeling, but I just do. And I think the way he built up the scenes and the way he showed and didn't tell and then tell and didn't show at the appropriate times is just kind of blows my mind in a way when it comes to filmmaking, because I can never make anything as good as this. This is a really good movie. And also... it really feeds to my fear of sharks, but it also feeds to my amazement of sharks because I love them. 9 out of 10 stars.
This is what I thought. Love the story. You know, you didn't leave anything for me really to say. I love how it's not all you see is what you get. You can do some research and find out some more hidden stuff about it and go in depth on the movie and just like really analyze it. And, I think I would give it a solid 8.5 stars. Just cut that star in half, add it to the 8. I'd give it a perfect 10 if it wasn't for those table pans. But that's just me.
Star and a half and for the table pans.
Yeah, that adds a lot to the stars. No, 8.5. A good overall. I'm really picky about my ratings. I don't think I've ever given a movie a solid 10 because they have to be perfect to get that 10.
What's a perfect 10?
I've never seen it.
Oh, podcast exclusive. Our first podcast exclusive.
Oh my gosh, I have seen a perfect 10.
Oh no, but we have ran out of time, so we'll talk to you guys later.